Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Mahomes steps up, throws, and he got it! Touchdown, Kelce!
I don't feel like we're that far away. Like, these teams are in a whole different tier than us. It's a matter of us just doing what we're supposed to do, and we'll be just fine. All right, thanks, guys.
No, D'Amico, they are on a different tier than you. And I'm just going to throw this question out at 713-780-3776 to call. Could you hang out with me, with Joe, with Sean behind the glass? Are you second-guessing D'Amico Ryans in any way, shape, or form after the Texans fell to the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday?
Not yet. I'm not there yet. I think he was wrong about the field goal. I think he should have gone for it.
Which field goal?
The one that Kymie missed, that sliced away.
Not the one that was blocked.
Yes.
And not the extra point that was missed.
Yes. Neither of those. The one that was just to the right at the 55-yarder. I think it was a huge mistake not to call timeout as the clock's winding down on fourth down, the play when CJ is sacked by George Karlaftis.
I don't think they should have called a timeout there. I think that they should have let it be a delay of game and punt.
So that's fine, too.
You should not have burned a timeout in that spot, but they did look discombobulated before that play began. Going for it on fourth and 10 was aggressive, and you had to have a better play than that. And as has been a problem for the Texans all year, whenever they ask for a tight end to block, whether it's Cade Stover or Dalton Schultz, they're just not getting enough. Those guys can't block. So if you're having him in as an extra blocker, guess what? He's not really an extra blocker there. I mean, you'd be better off with Daria Gumbawale out there in next to C.J. Stroud. I don't know if he was in on that play. I don't think he was. He probably wanted to have Joe Mixon out there because you want as many playmakers as you can possibly have out there. But I don't think they should have called a timeout. But I do think that was a situation where you can second-guess D'Amico Ryan's game management.
Yeah, totally. And a lot of that's on Bobby and C.J. not getting the play in quick enough either. It's just he has to, and I think really that's why you have to call the timeout there, is because if you're not going to call a timeout, CJ's not going to just automatically take the 5-yard penalty. He's going to try to get the playoff like they did, and it was a disaster. So I don't want to second-guess D'Amico just yet. I do think he has some mistakes and some flaws in this game. To me, the second-guessing is really going to be what happens over the next 5 to 6 days. I need to see the offensive line coach fired.
Chris Strouser.
I would like to see – I still am pro Bobby Slowick not being here. I don't think that will happen, but
just say it, pro firing Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, I'm pro firing Bobby Slowick. I don't think they'll do it, but I'm pro that. I think that's where, you know, if you're going to go with a defensive head coach and you're going to have issues on offense, you have to be a little more cutthroat, I think. And
yeah, the accountability side of things with D'Amico Ryans and this coaching staff, I don't feel it's where it would be with other organizations. Mm-hmm. It's early on, you kind of learn to be cutthroat over time.
Yeah.
What are they going to do this offseason? We will see for what it's worth, and we'll react to some of this audio tomorrow. D'Amico Ryans, when asked about Bobby Slowick, he said he has made some growth this season, but he was very short with his answer. And I think to open up his press conference today, he said that they will evaluate staffing changes over the course of the week.
Yeah, so that's why for me, like, I don't second guess as much today about D'Amico, but I just want to see what's the next move on the chessboard for him as a coach.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I second-guess some things in the game. H-Town Critic is not everyone's favorite account, but he said this game was an absolute embarrassment for D'Amico Ryans. I'm not going to go that far. But the first Fairbairn field goal, as you said, that's something to second-guess. Maybe challenging the spot on that Xavier Hutchinson reception that could have been a first down. And maybe from a time management perspective, before the field goal gets blocked, you kick the field goal a little bit earlier. Whatever the case, I think there are some things to look at with D'Amico Ryans. And then, of course, just the totality of the year where some of the same mistakes kept happening over and 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 over again. At a certain point, how are those things not being corrected? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's a question for D'Amico that only really he can answer, because he's said the same thing all season.
Mm-hmm.
That it needs to get fixed, and it didn't get fixed.
You won't throw his guys under the bus, and again, I'm cool with that publicly, but this is now time to throw people under the bus. You don't have to say anything about it. Just like Joe Pesci and Goodfellas, take Tommy into the room.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take him into the room and just make sure there's some plastic wrap out there so that you don't just damage your carpets.
And that includes the guys that on this team that you don't trust to be on the field. I think it's a mistake by D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio to invest a dime into Jimmy Ward like they did for next season. I think you can question if it makes sense to extend Brevin Jordan for another season like they did, because he's never on the field. There are tough decisions that are going to have to get made this offseason. But for D'Amico, I think that whole like kick a field goal as soon as Nico gets the first down or gets the catch, it's very Madden-y. It's very Madden gameplay of just kick the field goal and then go from there. I just don't feel like that's how really
I agree.
Anyone so, actually operates.
It gets a little bit simplified sometimes because we played that game. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah,
we're maybe some of the second guessing we do. We act like we in the moment would be able to have everything ready to go right away. Like there is. You have to factor this in. On the sideline, there is a decision-making process. Say the 4th and 10 where they decided to go for it. I'm sure in the moment they were like, damn, I think we kind of have to go for it. All right, Bobby, come up with something. And you hope that next time around that D'Amico knows, okay, no matter what, we are going for it here. He has to communicate with Bobby in between plays. Bobby, I need the best play.
Mm-hmm.
I need the best play ready to go. You have to call it. You have to make sure you have the right personnel in there. And that was not ready to go. And that's all you can hope is that is a learning experience. But, to bring it back to what we were discussing earlier, this team has not done a good job of learning from its mistakes this year. Self-correction is a big part of learning. And we did not see that very often from this team. And sure, glass half full approaches. CJ Stroud's in his second year. D'Amico Ryans is in his second year. Gritty effort in Kansas City by Stroud. Phenomenal effort in Kansas City by the defense outside of letting Travis Kelce slide away that one time. But the glass half empty is, did they look like they're in the same class as the Chiefs, even with the game where at times they played very well? I can't say that because I felt like in the fourth quarter, that's when the Chiefs generally are going to beat you, and you beat yourselves throughout that game.
Yeah, I don't think you can put yourself in the category of, being, he said they're not that far away. I do strongly disagree with that. I mean, you've lost your two divisional round games by quite a few points. You've struggled to beat good teams over the last 2 years. You've lost to some of the worst teams in the NFL.
And that's why you were in this spot. I mean, you lost a game where you forced 3 turnovers on Jordan Love on the road. You lost a game where you picked off Jared Goff 5 times. You lost to the effing Jets. You lost to the effing Titans. You win 2 of those games this round, you would have been playing perhaps that wouldn't have been fun to play the Baltimore Ravens, but you could have been playing the Ravens. You could have been playing the Bills, but you put yourself in the spot to play the Chiefs early on in the playoffs because you could not take care of business in the regular season. And last year, there was a problem, too. You lost to the Jets. You lost to the Panthers. You lost to the Falcons. You have to win the gimmies on your schedule because the regular season does matter from that perspective. Sure, there's only one bye week that gets out there, but what do you want to do this round of the playoffs? Not play in Kansas City against the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, potential 3-time defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, and the players said that themselves today. I mean, they acknowledged, you can't lose this game. I think Will Anderson mentioned the Jets specifically.
Yes, because they're the effing Jets.
Yeah.
And guess what? Stroud got sacked 8 times in that game, too.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of over-criticism right now of D'Amico. I don't think we talk about the blame game and who's at fault for this loss. I don't think it's on D'Amico really at all. There's a couple questionable moments, sure, but like he didn't build out a roster that for the second year in a row has no one that's capable of guarding Travis Kelce. There's no one out there. It doesn't matter if it's Eric Murray or Aziz or Christian Harris or Toto, like, or if Jimmy Ward or Jalen Petrie were healthy. Like, none of those guys can guard Travis Kelce. It's a big ask, but they've struggled against Mark Andrews. They've struggled against tight ends the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's not just a schematic thing. It's just there's just no one on the roster that fills that void. So, yeah, I don't want to – of all the people I think that deserve criticism today for the Texans losing on Saturday, I really don't think D'Amico's towards the top of that list.
I'm with you there, but it is his product.
Sure.
And he's going to have to take a look in the mirror and make some hard choices, and hopefully he actually is a little bit more bloodthirsty, because this time I don't think that you took a step forward. I think you're in the same spot that you were before. I felt – I brought this up on KHOU last night. I feel the same way that I feel after going to a sushi restaurant. Like, I love sushi. Sushi's good. But sushi's effing expensive. Especially if you go to Uchi. Good God. Terrible first date idea the one time I did that. Girls robbing me out there. You know, it was a first date. I didn't even get lucky. Okay. Oh, Paul, you sound really entitled there. Whatever, man. It was a $300 bill.
Oh, okay.
First date. Like, I don't have that kind of money. When I go and get sushi, like, I'm always hungry afterwards. Sushi's good, but like, do you leave sushi satisfied? Only if you go to those places where you can actually get a lot of bang for your buck. And this season to me was like going to a restaurant and eating sushi. I'm still hungry, and I don't know how I'm going to fill that, because I only have a limited amount of money and I just spent it all buying sushi, which is over expensive because some basic broad on one of the dating apps. Sorry, I'm being sexist, whatever. Oh, the key to my heart is sushi. Oh, really? Really? Well, guess what? The key to my stomach is eating more than just sushi. And that was a lot of money, babe. That was a lot of money. Rob's in somewhere. He wants to talk about the Houston Texans at 713-780-3776. Rob!
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I think everybody can pretty much agree that the offensive line is the biggest problem. But do we have any sort of faith in this regime drafting or signing offensive linemen when the last four guys that they've drafted have all been trash, and the only lineman that's worth anything was brought in by the previous GM? And so I don't see it getting any better next year when these guys haven't proven they can draft anybody worth a darn.
That's a good question, Rob. I mean, they gave Shaq Mason that extension before he even played it down, and Mason was better, I think, last year. But yeah, Kenyon Green's been a disaster. Juice Scruggs, I don't think he knows where he's at his best to this point. You have like Jarrett Patterson in there playing center for you because of the limitations of your interior offensive line. Shaq Mason should have been on the bench instead of Juice Scruggs. That is a place where I would have second guessing D'Amico Ryans, because they were saying, oh, we got better on the offensive line, and then they put him back in. Okay, why? Is he one of D'Amico Ryans' guys? Because D'Amico Ryans is loyal to a couple of guys specifically on the level where you kind of wonder why that's the case, and maybe not so loyal to other guys who are better on the roster. But yeah, right tackle. I mean, Titus Howard, is he a right tackle going forward? He's very expensive. You know, I don't know if that salary on the books makes any sense, and at left tackle too. So, yeah, you have to find guys in the draft, but you're going to be drafting towards the back of the first round for your first offensive lineman. Most of the good tackles are off the board by 15, at least based off of the ones, you know, going off of the mock drafts and the projections and all that jazz. So, you've got that. And generally, the offensive linemen who make it to free agency are not that good. That's why the teams didn't keep them.
Yeah, I mean, and even tough. And even then, like, you have $10 million to spend right now, and you don't have, if you go through any, like, these contracts, it's not easy to just, like, create a ton of cap space without extending guys. You can't just, like, cut your problems away to create salary cap. And so, to the caller's point, no, I don't trust Nick Caserio to evaluate the offensive line, because it's the only thing he clearly is below average at. He is crushing the draft in terms of secondary, linebackers, pass rushers, wide receivers, quarterback. He can't. The offensive line is not good. It's the biggest weakness of this team, and they've invested multiple draft picks into it, high draft picks into it, middle round draft picks into it, huge contracts, and they suck. Like, they suck. So, yeah. No, I don't have any confidence that Nick Caserio can fix this offensive line because it's clearly his Achilles heel right now as a GM.
And with how the offensive line is already built and with the salary cap space that they're going to have this offseason or that they're not going to have this offseason, you're going to be having to either nail some draft picks, Nick Caserio, or D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio is going to have to smoke the offensive line coach to hire because those are the only ways that they're going to get better. And no one's going to – everyone's going to say, like, wait, so you're going to get rid of, like, Titus Howard or whoever or Kenyon Green. Like, they have X amount of open spots on this offensive line. They invested this much already into it, and now they're going to get better. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to hope. You're going to have to hope that they either get coached up or that they're just more aligned on the offensive line next season. Like, there's not going to be a satisfactory move that they make.
I had this history teacher in 10th grade. His name was Mr. Fielding. Mr. Fielding, if you're listening, you know what this was, okay? So Mr. Fielding, the worst teacher I've ever had. This is a guy who would forget where the tests were that were taken, and people would just tell him, oh, yeah, I turned it into you, and he'd give him an A. Oh. This is a guy who tried to pander to us as best he can by allowing us to play Halo 2 at lunch. This all sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It was great for us. Did we learn anything about history in 10th grade? No, we didn't. Also, this guy was like asking teachers out who were married, et cetera, et cetera. Like,
I mean,
he's kind of creepy and had the attractive girl sitting up at the front of the class. There was a lot of weird stuff going on with this guy. Okay. So this guy was my history teacher. One of the most incompetent teachers I've ever seen. You are hoping that your offensive line coach is one of the most incompetent coaches, a la Mr. Fielding, in history. Like, that best case scenario, this guy is so effing bad that these guys have been made worse by his existence. And Chris Strausser probably will be a fall guy. The odds of Chris Strausser being that bad are pretty low. So now, you got to look in the mirror at nearly $200 million in total salary towards your offensive linemen and say, like, what if these guys just aren't as good as we're paying them to be?
And 100%.
And how are you going to get better? You know, you were mentioning Nick Caserio. Caserio's had two really good drafts in a row. And honestly, you can take a look at the entire track record. And, okay, the Kenyon Green pick has been a disaster. But Derek Stingley was the right call. Stroud, right call. Will Anderson, right call. Tank Dell, right call. Kamari Lassiter, right call. Among others.
Nico Collins,
exactly. Like, there's been a lot of good picks. You're asking a lot in something that is, in my opinion, a crapshoot to the point where I don't really pay attention to, like, mock draft talk. I think everyone's talking out of their ass. It's such a crapshoot. You're expecting Nick Caserio to keep winning the lottery to fix this unit. And, yeah, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing when it comes to evaluating offensive line talent. But, man, you are really going a steep incline this offseason when it comes to making this offensive line better. And it really is a matter of hopefully that coach was the worst coach of all time.
Yeah, your best bet is that your coach fixes or improves Patterson, Scruggs, and Blake Fisher enough to where you only have to replace like maybe one person on the offensive line this year. That's best case scenario.
Yeah.
And I still, you know, I've been listening to a lot of like, trying to listen to some of the quarterbacks in the media when they've been talking about the Texans a lot. And I think back to Chris Sims when he was on Ryan Russillo's podcast last week. One of my biggest questions of this offseason and the future of the Houston Texans is still, why is it so clear to everyone that's watching the Texans that C.J. Stroud is thinking that his offensive line is going to protect him in a certain way and he's just getting rushed so quickly? And they say it's all because Juice Scruggs or Jared Patterson are the ones calling out the protections up front. And it makes me wonder with Stroud why he hasn't taken over that responsibility.
Good question.
And if it's that much of a problem where Scruggs and Patterson are that bad at it, then there's probably, I would imagine there's no way CJ Stroud's worse at it. So like there are fundamental things that like you can convince me that going into the next season they're going to be much better at, it starts there with C.J. Stroud calling out the protections, a new offensive line coach, one or two new faces in on the offensive line. Like, I think we can go in with a more optimistic view of it, but no, I don't trust Nick Cassara to fix it. I just can't.
And it's funny because he's done a great job.
Yeah.
He's done a great job building this roster, but this might be an area of weakness.
And that's okay. But then it's up to Nick Cassario to be a great general manager than to find someone that can help you.
Can you hire a good offensive line coach? One of the frustrations I have with the Tennessee Titans being a bunch of dumbasses is that... Had they actually been smart and fired their head coach, Brian Callahan, you would potentially be able to hire Bill Callahan as your offensive line coach. And I wonder if Bill Callahan stays with the Titans after this year, because there's definitely a lot of messiness going on.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's something I wonder about.
There's one more offensive line coach, legendary offensive line coach, that maybe Nick Cassario has in his contacts list.
I got his Wikipedia page full of right here.
I had to check if he was still alive. Dante Scarnecchia.
What if... Paul, imagine how much better we would all feel today if they announced, if Nick Cassario said, I'm bringing in Dante Scarnecchia to help me evaluate an offensive line coach.
Who was a consultant?
Just to get his sign off of like, this guy, I'm 76 years old, I don't want to coach.
Oh, he's only 76. Okay, yeah. Good. I was wondering how old he was. Pete Carroll might be like 89.
Hey, Pete Carroll's 73, so Dante can come out of retirement.
But he's been retired for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been 2019. But like, can you make a phone call
now
and just be like, hey man, you got any recommendations here of like who can help me identify offensive line talent and who can help coach them?
I'm sure he has some ideas, but I mean, this is a very big offseason task, and I honestly don't think it is possible for them to improve this significantly this offseason. Can it be better? I mean, it can't be any worse.
That's what I'm thinking. Can they get to average? That to me is the like bar that they need to get to. It's like, don't have parts of the season where we watch the games and we go, oh my god, they're gonna get CJ Stroud killed. Like, don't do that. But can they be the
don't do that.
Can they be like the 16th or 18th best offensive line in football? Mm-hmm. That's all we need.
Such a low bar.
From the 8-3-2, can we blame the offensive scheme too? Yeah, obviously. Slowick's a part of this.
He is part of this, yeah.
And I am skeptical that the Texans will fire Bobby Slowick.
That's why I'm not really talking about him that much. I'm focusing mostly on the offensive line coach. Because he feels like, just how I'm mapping it in my head, offseason 2025 fall guy, Strouser. Midseason, or maybe after the another playoff divisional loss, fall guy next season, Bobby Slowick. Then, after that, then we get into the offensive coordinator hire better work out.
I disagree, because if D'Amico Ryans makes the decision to stick with Bobby Slowick and the offense is bad next year, people are all going to flip on D'Amico.
But
you are the CEO of this football team, and if you make the decision to keep Bobby Slowick and your offense does not improve, people are going to turn on D'Amico next season.
But they're going to let him hire a new offensive coordinator.
They will, but the fan base will be unhappy.
We'll talk to DJ about this tomorrow, but D'Amico is loyal, and sometimes loyalty can cost you. Robert has a thought on the Texans at 713-780-3776. Robert, yo.
What's going on, fellas? How are y'all doing?
Doing all right. Good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm trying to stay warm out here, man. It's a thing. It's easy to blame the O-line. I get it. They deserve a lot of it. But I would like to see CJ become more athletic. There's been a lot of plays all season to where he just did not run the ball. Even Saturday night, he could have ran the ball a couple more times. I know he had 42 yards rushing. Could have had a little more. Keep the drive going. Keep the chains moving. Just be more athletic. I don't know if CJ's soft, but running backwards to get a sack, a lot of that's on him. I like to see him be more athletic, not a Lamar Jackson, but at least he's able to do it. That's all I want to see. It'll help out the whole line a whole lot, in my opinion.
Did you think, Robert, in this game that he showed a little bit of that? I mean, the last couple of games, I think he trusted his feet a little bit more. I like that he was putting his shoulder into people. Playoffs are on the line. I get what you're saying. Like, there are moments where it looks like he's holding onto the football a little bit long, but there have also been a lot of moments where it felt like he hasn't had a chance from the actual start of the play. Like, I thought that there were some moments on Saturday where you took steps forward. Do you feel the same way? I guess we lost Robert. Okay.
Well, no, but like it's to your, I agree with you. And I mean, if you look at like there's this chart that's out there right now that if you look at like the most pressured quarterbacks in the NFL, CJ Stroud is at the very top of the list basically in terms of both blocked pressure rate and unblocked pressure rate. They're coming in super fast. It's a schematic issue where you're having tight ends block elite pass rushers or good pass rushers. I mean, George Karloftis is not elite. He looked like the best pass rusher in the NFL on Saturday. It's a schematic thing, all of it. There's also, where's the easy stuff? Like, you want to talk about get the ball out to where? Like, look at some of these plays where Dare Ogunbowale from this weekend is helping, in quotes, on Chris Jones, and he gets muddled up in the play, so he's not even a hot route for CJ to dump the ball out by the time CJ's on his ass. Like, they don't, this offense doesn't have the easy layups for CJ to just get rid of the ball. Some of it's definitely on him. He takes sacks, every quarterback does. It's objective to, unless you're in the unless you are part of the Houston Texans, you cannot be 100% correct on what is and what is not CJ Stroud's fault.
Yeah.
Just because you don't know everything that's happening on.
No, right. That's what it is.
But it's more, to me, it's still the, while I agree with some of your points, Ron, it's largely on the offensive line and the coaches than it is more on CJ.
He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. What's the fix? Got a quick fix for the Texans next year? Hit us up at 713-780-3776 to call the text. Don't hit us. Hit us up. On the Twitch at ESPN975, on the YouTube at ESPN Houston. It's Galan and George, ESPN975 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN975. It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I feel so bad. We just ruined Paul's life.
It's not about me. No, we got bigger fish to fry.
No, it's about you, I think, now.
It's big. We got bigger things to fry. So look, we're all bummed out the Texans lost on Saturday. Joe just shared something with me. I'm not thrilled about it, but I, Joe, I don't want to bring the mood down. Okay, I don't want to bring down the mood.
Yes,
congratulations to your Chicago Bears.
Yes, the people that like me, you should be happy for me today because Ben Johnson is finalizing a deal to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Good job.
Very happy about that.
Yeah, you got honestly,
it's not Mike McCarthy.
Yeah,
that's really. I talked myself into Todd Monken pretty heavily this weekend, to be honest.
You did?
After watching the Ravens game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very, very happy that Ben Johnson's going to be the head coach of the Bears.
And you got your Notre Dame hat on. Notre Dame 8.5-point dogs against Ohio State.
Yeah,
tonight,
now I feel much better.
Championship.
Now I feel like Notre Dame's going to win.
Because you were saying before the show the Texans kind of brought down your optimism.
Yeah. Because if it's like same old Texans, I was like, oh, it's going to be same old Notre Dame, which means they're going to lose by 25. Which is still possible, but I'm just happy to be there tonight. I wish I was there. It's a little expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You just missed it by 1 year.
It's like $3,000.
Yeah.
I know. I cannot believe I was at the national championship game last year. And now Notre Dame's in it this year. Just missed it. But Paul's upset. Because we told him that the owner of the Boston Red Sox is interested in buying the Boston Celtics.
Motherfucker! Can't say that on the air. Can't say that. Yeah, I'm pretty upset about that. That sucks. The Red Sox ownership is a bunch of losers. I know that they have won 4 World Series with the Red Sox, and that should just tell you how I feel about this. They are cheap. They do not try to win. LeBron James is part of that ownership group, which also angers me. Not happy.
Well, so LeBron might own the Celtics?
Shut up. He already does.
I was going to say, since you went to Miami, he does.
Anyway, listen, it's not about me.
It's not about Joe either.
Not about me.
No, I want okay, I want Joe to be happy.
Joe.
I'm happy for Joe.
He calls me racist like once a week.
Yeah, but I want you to be happy.
He's trying to get me canceled again.
An hour or two hours and 38 minutes ago he did.
Like,
oh, God. This sucks. And the Texans sucked on Saturday, to bring it full circle.
Mm.
I spent a lot of this weekend focused on the Texans. I will say this. I am thankful. I am thankful that the thing that I do care the most about, which is NFL coverage in the city of Houston, I'm thankful that after this coming week and we figure out what the Texans are doing with their coaching staff and some of the big decisions that they have to make, I'm glad that it's taking a back burner. Joe was up until, first off, 3 in the morning on Thursday into Friday, and 3 in the morning Friday into Saturday, putting together a montage, which, by the way, I thought was amazing. Shout out to me. That led to Believe, which, of course, this show has put together.
Mm-hmm.
I made a logo that we could theoretically print on a t-shirt.
Oh, really?
And I even went to LegalZoom.com and tried to figure out how we could trademark Believe. $650. Not happening. But I had everything lined up on the off chance that they pulled it off on Saturday with that montage and potentially thought about biting the bullet for the trademark. I was thinking crazy things. And I wasted a lot of time this weekend because ultimately the game went exactly how I thought it would when I did the show on Friday. But after the show, I started thinking, what if something crazy happens?
I mean, look, when they scored 15 plays, 82 yards, 10 minutes and 24 seconds left off or knock off the clock, it's 12-13. As Kyrie's walking out of the field goal, I thought the Texans were going to win. And then, whoop, ball game, over, no chance to win. As soon as that happened,
yeah.
But like, I think we should really ponder this trademark here for a second, though. Because what will your reaction be when the Texans release their hashtag for the 2025-2026 season, and it's hashtag Believe, and you didn't trademark it?
I tipped the hat. I tipped my hat to them.
Really?
Yeah, I just tipped my hat again.
And they sell T-shirts.
I'm not paying $650 for this. I'm not. I thought it would be easy. Honestly, what I would have had to do, and we would have either shared this or had to go to charity or something like that. I was thinking, though, about, you know, maybe giving the big man, Mr. Gal, a call, say like, hey, can we sell this through what's our T-shirt company? Sorry.
Bullshirts.
Bullshirts. Yeah, like through Bullshirts, we put together some Believe T-shirts.
That's good branding for them.
Right. It would be awesome.
Tremendous.
I didn't think the logo was that bad, but yeah, I'm bummed the season ended, especially the way that it did. I thought that the defense played their ass off. I thought that CJ Stroud finally seemed to put seen ghosts to the side this game. He was sacked 8 times, but I thought Stroud played like a man. I thought Mixon played like a man. I thought Will Anderson played like a man. And the defense was, for the most part, very good, but 8 sacks, terrible day of special teams. And I mean, ultimately, it was never really that close, even though in the third quarter, they had a chance to tie it after that 10-minute touchdown drive.
Yeah, it's going to be a long offseason, I feel like. Is there a sour taste? Are you just discouraged? Like D'Amico?
I'm not discouraged. I'm frustrated because going into this year, I really did think that they had a chance to make it to the AFC Championship game. But honestly, I think they had a chance to make the AFC Championship game if they didn't play the Chiefs.
You think, like, if it was Buffalo or Baltimore?
If it was Buffalo, I would have picked them to win.
Yeah.
I would have picked them to win against Buffalo. I would not have picked them to win against Baltimore, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we need to. To me, like, that's where number one game on the schedule next year. Like, I kind of hope it's week one, honestly. Like, they'll play Baltimore again next year.
I mean,
need to see it. You want to get the fan base to believe. You got to beat Baltimore next year.
Honestly, I prefer not playing Baltimore at all. I know they have to because it's the first place game.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it's also risky to put it week one because you know what people won't do if they get blown out in week one to the same team that they always get blown out.
Care?
Yeah, they won't believe.
God, I mean, I still go back to like my first year and only year in Morning Drive here in Houston with Mike and with Seth. And do I blame the Texans for that show failing? A little bit. They lost the first three games to open up football season, and no one cared after that, even though they won nine games in a row. Who'd they beat? Yeah, I kind of get it. I actually do kind of get it.
Yeah.
Who did they beat? No one. Alas, earwax. God, I can't believe it's John Henry's I really just can't believe that. This is brutal.
It'll be okay.
This is why you got to watch on YouTube and Twitch, because like you get to see me being myself.
Yeah, you saw
wallet?
It. You saw it on the break.
Yeah,
I mean the reaction. You would have thought.
Oh yeah, I threw my wallet at the fake brick wall to the left. Hopefully it didn't break.
I mean, look, it doesn't mean they're gonna buy it.
Yeah, they're just putting together a bit. I mean, they're driving up the price for Bezos.
Still there.
Yeah, they're driving up the
price. Bezos ain't gonna buy it. Why did I just have a Texas accent there? I don't know.
That's all right.
Disassociating from Boston because of John Henry, that son of a biscuit. Rivers got a thought on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish big game tonight for Joe George's Golden Domers. He has his hat on. Credit to him. No t-shirt yet, which honestly still indictment on you, but it's fine. It's fine.
I'll buy a national championship t-shirt.
Nah, that's a little bit too cocky.
I'll even find the ones they send to Africa when they lose.
Whoa. Whoa. Well, I mean,
honestly, I would love one of those. If I could add to my t-shirt collection, I would love to have all the Super Bowl losers t-shirts. It'd be great. It'd just be ironic.
It would be funny to have all the Bills loser t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great. 713-780-3776. River, what's up?
What's up, guys? Such a big day today, so I had to call in. I see that Joe did not find that mythical t-shirt that he lost his virginity in back in grad school, but I'm glad he did stop by Lids on the way into the office and grab that hat.
Yeah, you know what? I do wonder if the hat was just lost forever.
No,
they did find it. Okay.
This is the same one.
Okay. What if you never had the hat? I don't know. Asterisk. Anyway, continue, River.
Also, Paulie, that jacket you got on, I don't know how cold it is.
It's very cold in studio.
But that Canada Goose jacket, it might become a collector's item. It's about to become American Goose here soon.
Ooh, that's true. Annexed Canada. Annexed Gulf of America. Annexed Mexico? Big day. You know what? Texans aren't winning. United States of America, though? Like
Dubs.
Getting key victories over their division rivals in North America? I don't know.
Is Greenland out of conference?
Greenland's out of conference. Until it's not.
Yeah.
You never know.
Realignment. It's always happening.
I mean, when's the first NFL game going to be played in Greenland?
United States of America is the new Big Ten. Doesn't make any sense. The ACC.
We're having to change the commercial?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, appreciate the phone call, River.
Thank you, River. Good luck tonight. I know you're a fan, too.
Yeah. Good luck to the Golden Domers. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up after this. We got a little garbage time. We'll laugh at some things. Try to feel better about, you know, sports in general with the Texans losing and the Celtics about to be bought by the cheapest bastard in all of sports who is rich. He's like a rich cheap. How does that work? I don't know. He's Henry John Henry. Seems like he would actually shop at Subway. He got real big on the Boston Red Sox success. Now here he is about to make the Celtics look like they're wearing a dress. That's all I have. Sorry, whatever. Yeah, stick around. Hopefully I'll stick around. I might jump out the window. Bye.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Remigio on the return. Nico spins. Still going. Bends it back and down. Ball comes out.
I think that's where I knew they were probably going to lose. By the way, that was the first play of the game.
That is like a good point of when did you know they were going to lose? Right there. For me, it was the extra point. You know what? There's 2 points. That play was point number one, but then they held into a field goal.
Then
so I was like, okay.
They hung around.
Like, I was like, okay. Like,
the defense looked good. And they're hitting
in,
hard.
Super Bowl caliber defense, settle in, and then Kaimi shanked it. Yeah. Those are the two moments, I think.
You know what else didn't help? Seeing the Rizzler before the game in all Chiefs gear. No loyalty in New Jersey and the tri-state area. Those people, massive front-running frauds. You've also got Caitlin Clark, who apparently lifelong Chiefs fan. Does make sense. She's from Iowa.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Iowa is either Chiefs or Bears usually, so that makes sense.
Oh, okay. That would make sense, yeah. Yeah, I could buy, you know, to me the whole Midwest is just a giant cornfield with Chicago in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah. I grew up in a cornfield, basically.
You did?
The town that I grew up in.
They have corn in Illinois?
Yeah.
Okay.
The town that I grew up in, when I moved to this suburb, my dad is a high school teacher. His first graduating class was 60 students. Now, by the time I graduated high school, it was quadruple that. So they grew quickly between like second grade to high school, end of high school. But yeah, there's corn.
Shout out to those 60 people high school classes.
Yeah.
Shorecrest Prep.
And welcome to what Illinois 50. Feels like, Houston. Huh? And welcome to what Illinois feels like, Houston.
Outside?
Yeah. Well, it's 2 degrees in Illinois today, so it's not as bad.
Good God.
But, and Ben Johnson's still going there?
Yeah, I know.
He must be paying him a bank.
I would imagine.
A lot of money.
Just a reminder, don't dump hot water on your windshields if they're frozen.
Oh, didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Dude, cold I don't know water? Anything about cars in the cold. Nothing.
No, it'll crack your windshields if you dump like boiling water on your windshield to get the
dang
ice to go away. So don't do that. So
what do I pour on my windshield?
You just turn your car and then...
I just realized I do not have a...
Let it heat up.
I don't think I have a windshield scraper or brush for my car.
Does anyone?
No.
I was going to say, I definitely don't.
I bet they're all gone at all the stores.
They sell them here?
I'd imagine.
I used to have one.
Okay.
I used to have one.
You probably can't get it at the grocery store. You probably have to go to like an Advance Auto Parts or O'Reilly or any of those places.
AutoZone, whichever.
So there's probably no water at the grocery store. There's probably no toilet paper. Mm-hmm. I never understand why toilet paper is gone.
I know, like, we're going to be inside for like 2 days, guys.
Well.
And you might not have any water to even flush
it
with.
You can't say that with that much authority.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was actually the last time it snowed, but there was one time relatively recently.
Yeah.
It's a little longer than a couple days.
I have the hot water running as a dribble in all of the faucets and bathtubs in my place. Yeah, your boy has 2 bathtubs.
What?
Hell yeah, dude. Legend. Wow. None of them are jacuzzi size, though.
But no bed for me to sleep in.
No bed. Sorry, Sean. Sorry.
No room at the inn.
I'm sorry. Listen, I love this company. They allow me to do so many things. I'm not allowing you, this company, like the British soldiers in 1776, to commandeer my house so that some of the people that work at this fine station can get to work tomorrow. Middle management, Joe.
I got Sean and Dell hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Look at you.
So we're in line with the Fourth Amendment. Or
and then everyone else is at home.
Where's my hotel room, though?
You're working from home.
But I want a hotel room.
Do you think he walks to work tomorrow, Sean? Even though he doesn't have to?
No, there's no reason to.
Okay.
It depends how much snow we get.
Yeah. No, we'll be doing the shows from home tomorrow. Unless my internet and electricity are out. Then I will walk. I doubt I'm driving. I'm not driving on Westheimer when it's icy. Now I might get clipped like by some car that spins out of control on the sidewalk, and that would listen. If I die walking to work at a radio station because I got clipped, you guys are allowed to laugh. You guys are allowed to laugh. It would be kind of funny.
Will you have
Paul's poof dead because he walked to work?
Well, you have died in the poof hat, the poofy hat, like you have one now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Anyway, garbage time. Garbage. What's garbage? How about this? Vontaze Burfict.
Not garbage.
NFL garbage. Because he doesn't play in the league anymore. He tweeted this out after showing the Mahomes flop. 100,000 likes and I'll come out of retirement to end this man's career. Guess how many likes?
1 million.
97,000.
He is, ooh!
Vontaze Burfict is 3,000 likes away from returning to the NFL to end Patrick Mahomes' career.
I'll be honest, I saw it early, probably like, I don't know, 20 minutes after he tweeted it, and I was like, I don't think he's going to get there, man. 100 likes is so many likes.
It's got 6, the tweet has 6 million views. He's at 97,000.
Mm-hmm. 97,000. Look, this
D'Amico.
This hopefully is something that the NFL sees and realizes, oh yeah, we got a problem. We got a problem when it comes to what these quarterbacks are now doing. Mahomes is not the only person to do it, but he is the worst about it. Josh Allen does it too. I know a lot of Chiefs fans have turned this into a whataboutism. I've taken a look at my TikToks, my YouTube. Ooh, what about Josh Allen? We're just talking about the game that I just watched, guys. I can't go through the entire NFL to talk about all the floppers. But you know who does not flop? And I'm annoyed with Chiefs fans are trying to pull this crap out, and they're like showing like examples where Tom Brady clearly got cheap shotted, like 3 to 5 yards out of bounds. Tom Brady wouldn't flop. Tom Brady, when he slides, he kicks people in the nuts. Patrick Mahomes, when does he ever do that? Oh, yeah, he's 0-2 against Tom Brady career in the playoffs. Huh, interesting.
I've also seen footage of Tom Brady getting decapitated on a football field.
Yeah, got right up. Got right up, didn't ask for a flag. Patrick Mahomes, someone breathes on him. Oh, no, I'm dying. Ah, I'm dead. Okay? Chiefs fans, you will never have beaten Tom Brady in the playoffs. Not once. 0-2. That'll stick in your craw forever. You'll never forget it. And that's the only trash talk I have for Kansas City today, because they did win, and it was the Texans' fault, not the referees.
Your barbecue sucks.
Pork's okay. Pork's good, but you know, I'd prefer my beef. Prefer my brisket. Joe, good luck to your Fighting Irish tonight.
Thank you. Hopefully they keep it close.
Congratulations on Ben Johnson. No, it's all turning up for Joe.
Hope so.
Meanwhile, I got John Henry back.
About time.
For Sean Mays, for Joe George, for our texters, callers, YouTubers, and Twitchers, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Happy Martin Luther King Day. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.